For quite a few weeks, I've been thinking about Pentecost. And I think it started when I was reading through the book of Acts in my time of devotion. And I started to wonder, well, what is Pentecost all about? I'm a pastor. I should know these things, right? But I'm also a Baptist. And when I was growing up, man, you said the word Pentecost and everybody ran. It was just one of those things, you know, we are Baptists. We are not Pentecostal. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to skip over it in Acts chapter 2 when we read about it, you know, but pretty much we're going to try to stay as far away from this whole, after all, that's something that the more liturgical churches do. And so I said, this year I am going to preach on Pentecost Sunday. And of course, the Sundays change from year to year. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, when am I going to be preaching this sermon? Well, actually, it's, you know, next week. Roger Luce is going to be here. I'm not going to be preaching. So the sermon title for today is Preparing for Pentecost. So I'm going to preach on Pentecost anyway. And the preparation for Pentecost. Where did Pentecost come from? What is the origin of Pentecost? Well, first we have Passover. Passover is redemption from Egypt. If you remember, the symbolism is rich in Passover. You have the Passover lamb, who is Jesus. And each one of the families were to take that perfect little lamb, as perfect as it could be. Now, we know that there's always little things wrong, but they took the best lamb they had in their flock, the best one that was available to them. Later on in the minor prophets, the people of Israel would be scolded by the prophet for bringing their sickly or deformed lambs. And the prophet would say, would you bring these to your governor? Would you pay your taxes with these? But you bring them to the Lord your God? And the idea was, well, bring your best. And God would give his best when he gave to us Jesus as our Passover lamb. John said, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Passover. 50 days later, after the people came out of Egypt, they were traveling around the desert, and God brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the law. This is celebrated in Passover. The giving of the law, it's also the feast of first fruits every year, and prescribed what they would celebrate at this feast, how they would celebrate it. There was always something dairy in the feast. You know how much I like food. I had to look that up. In preparation, the people were headed from Egypt to the promised land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And God would give them the law on the way. Now, redemption in Egypt and from Egypt came before the law was given. You can't have the law before you're a Christian. It just doesn't work that way. The meaning of Pentecost, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, says, you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. So we have this idea from the book of Leviticus chapter 23 that you start counting from the Passover Sabbath. So Passover could be on a Thursday. It might have been the day before Jesus was crucified. We're not sure. I'm not sure. Some people are very sure, but I'm not sure they should be sure. But it's a good thing that you start counting for Pentecost at Passover Sabbath. So whenever that Saturday is, you start with that Saturday. And you count 7 weeks or 49 days to the seventh Sabbath, which is a Saturday. And then Pentecost, the giving of the law, is the next day. Pentecost means 50. The day of Pentecost takes place 50 days after Passover. The people of Israel had been redeemed from Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. And at Mount Sinai, they received the law that established their future relationship with God in the promised land. So all of the things that were given in the Torah, the law, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were given to Moses at Sinai. And Pentecost is the celebration of the giving of the law, that the law was given. One Jewish scholar said, the law was given, and that's the celebration of Pentecost. It's not the receiving, but the giving of the law. Because he said we should be receiving the law on a regular basis. And isn't that true in our lives as well? We need daily to be in the Word of God, and we have much more in our Bible than just the Torah, than the first five books of the Bible. I'm glad we do. Love to read the Psalms. I love to read the Gospels, the epistles in the New Testament. We have so much more than the early believers had, those who are Jewish heritage. So at Mount Sinai, Moses and Joshua were the only ones allowed on the mountain. The rest of the nation were warned not to touch the mountain or they would die. I have in my mind that yellow caution tape, you know, on markers all around the mountain. Do not come any farther. Do not come past this point. Danger. The presence of God is on the mountain. You cannot come into his presence. Moses, in fact, when he came down from the mountain, it says his face glowed because he had been in the presence of God. He was veiled, put a veil on his face, so not so that the people couldn't see that his face glowed, but that they couldn't see the glow fading away from his face. But they were restricted, and only Moses and Joshua were allowed into the presence of God. You see, there's only two ways to enter into God's presence. The first way you can enter into God's presence is through absolute perfection. That's what the law requires. We can't break one small section of God's law without being condemned. We cannot come into his presence unless we're perfect. But there's another way, a way that God made. You see, you can enter God's presence with absolute redemption, where God paid the price for us to come in to his presence. So it's through the blood of Jesus that they came, that Moses and Joshua entered into the presence of God, and it's through the blood of Jesus that we're allowed now to come into his very presence and be a part of his family. Pentecost is also known because it was the birth of the church. It was the beginning of the church. Jesus said in the garden, let all of these go, that not one be taken, to fulfill the prophecy that no one would die between Jesus' death and the coming of the Holy Spirit. The only one who did die was the thief on the cross. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, in Abraham's bosom from the book of Luke, under the Old Testament covenants. But all of those who believed in Jesus, from his death to his resurrection, would become a part of his bride, his body, the church, at Pentecost. So the church celebrated Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. So it was a celebration, a feast, and the church gathered to celebrate it together. The normal gathering of the early church was on the first day of the week. Not only was it the day of the resurrection, but it was the pattern of Jesus. We read over and over again when you read the scripture that Jesus appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week. It continued here on Pentecost. The church was born on Pentecost. The church was born on a Sunday, the day of the resurrection. Look at chapter 2 of Acts, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So interesting that it talks here about the filling of the Holy Spirit. We often refer to this as the baptism of the church by the Holy Spirit. We speak of these two ministries, actually, being baptized in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Today, there are some people who believe that the baptism of the Spirit took place only on the day of Pentecost. There are others who believe that we, when we become Christians, are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. I think that's what most of us would believe. But there's also that term, filled with the Holy Spirit. That I am filled means that I am controlled by the Spirit of God. So like that Jewish scholar said, there is the giving of the Holy Spirit, but there is also the receiving of the Holy Spirit. He used that about the law. There is the giving of the law and the receiving of the law. We need to receive the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis. If we are going to live in right relationship with God, we have to understand his presence in our lives, that his presence is life-changing, that our life changes through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. What about the law? Paul wrote in Romans 3:20, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So we read the Bible. And we read passages like in 1 Peter where Peter says, be holy for I am holy. Be perfect for I am perfect. And we look at our lives and we say, well, I'm not perfect. And I'm not this morning going to list my sins, the sins that I struggle with, but I know that you have sins that you struggle with. Each one of us does. Hebrews chapter 13 says we all have sins that easily beset us. those things that we see something, we feel something, we say something, and it's a struggle. We all have them. Many of them are the same. There's only so many choices. So we all have struggles. And the only way we can overcome the struggles that we have is through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. This verse is special. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Look at all of the things we have as Christians today, that we are in Christ, that we are part of his family, that we have everlasting life, that we have a home in heaven. And when we lose someone, as Pat lost her sister this week, we know, we have that comfort in our heart that she's with the Lord Jesus. That's a comforting thought for us. So we have so much in him. Grace, it says. Grace and truth. A lot of times we'll say, well, truth is the Bible, but let's remember that the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And he helps us with the understanding of what's written in God's Word. And he reveals to us those things that he wants in our lives. So how do we prepare for Pentecost? Well, the first thing we do is we seek God in his word. Remember, this is the first fruits. We remember the fruit we are as Christians to bear much fruit, John chapter 15. We are as Christians to bear fruit. We could talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of Christians is also Christians. The first fruit in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people in one day came to know Jesus as their Savior. How did that happen? Because of the Holy Spirit's coming, he used different languages to reach people who had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. They each heard the gospel in their own language, in their heart language, we call it. And they responded. A multitude of people, first fruits, 3,000 people came that day to trust the Lord. How do we grow? Peter said in 2 Peter 2:2, remember he was the preacher at Pentecost, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So there needs to be a desire for the word of God. I need to long for the Bible, for the scripture. We as a church need the same thing. I think last year when I was preaching on the book of Acts, these first few chapters, we were noting how many times Peter used the scripture in his sermon. Over and over and over again, he referred to scripture. And throughout the book of Acts, they did the same. But there's more that we can do. To pray for more witnesses. Jesus said in Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So here you have the picture of the people of Israel gathering together on Pentecost, which was the first grain harvest of the year. They were coming together to celebrate, but they were coming together to work. And Jesus takes this concept and he says, here's the field. It's ready for harvest. There are people who need to be saved. There are people who are waiting to be saved. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send more people out into the field to reap this crop. People are just waiting. I always feel terrible in the fall when I see fields that are filled with vegetables that are just rotting. We need to be out in the field. We need to be praying for more people who are willing to go out and share their faith, this good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that forgiveness is possible, that cleansing is possible, that healing is possible through Christ. The harvest is plentiful, but we don't have enough people going out to share it. And the last verses that I'd like to share with you this morning are from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. I love this whole chapter. It's one of the most powerful chapters, I think, in the Word of God. It starts off with the gospel and ends with the resurrection. And most of it's about the resurrection. But these verses toward the end. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, or O grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't receive the law until they got to Sinai, because they were under another law in Egypt. And for us, it was the law of sin and death, where there is no hope until the Lamb of God was sacrificed for our sin. So Jesus died to deliver us from the body of this death. And we've lived in that valley of the shadow of death all of our lives. And it's affected all of us in different ways. But he says here that death now is swallowed up in victory because of the resurrection of Jesus. And now the application by the Holy Spirit of his resurrection has come. Death is swallowed up in victory. We're freed from the law of sin and death. And he says to us, come out of your spiritual Egypt. Don't live there any longer. Come to Pentecost. And so a lot of us would look at that and say, trading one law for another law, I couldn't live up to that other law. Well, how can I live up to this law? But the Pentecost in chapter 2 of Acts changed it all. Isn't it great? It went from the law, the giving of the law, to the giving of the Holy Spirit. Just an incredible difference. And the choice is ours today. We can still continue to live according to the law. And remember, that requires absolute perfection. Or we can live under absolute redemption, where Christ gave himself to redeem us. And as we come to Pentecost, it's not the law we receive, it's the Holy Spirit we receive. It's his presence and his power in our lives to transform us into the image of Jesus. So we have that opportunity to live as new creations in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have, the opportunity of Pentecost. Father, help us not be afraid of your Holy Spirit. Help us to realize that you take up residence in our lives, that your presence And your power is available to us through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. So we thank you for coming in, for taking up residence, of your promise never to leave us, to never forsake us. And Father, I pray that we might understand the freedom and the healing that comes through this good news. So bless us, Father, as we prepare for Pentecost today. Help us to experience the fullness of the life that can only come through your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.